And this is what I would say to anybody who wants to teach is it's the opportunity. You have an opportunity, if it's kids, if it's women, if it's a group of people, if it's a specific subject, go for it. That's the Lord opening a door.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Expositors Collective Podcast, episode 94. I'm your host, Mike Neglia. Now, for our 94th episode, this one is an interview that Nick Cady conducted last summer in California with Pam Markey. Now, Pam, I think, is one of these modern day heroes of the faith. She has been involved in planting churches, not only in America, but also in Ukraine, in Kyrgyzstan. She went on to be involved in Bible college ministry, both in Vita and Budapest, Hungary. And so in this conversation, she does speak a bit about her, like, you know, enthralling story about being a church planter, being an international missionary, being a Bible college director, being a mother of nine. So she's going to talk to us about, amongst other things, like time management and preparing Bible studies when there's not just heaps of time to do so, and amongst other things. So this is a great interview. I really enjoyed listening to it just in a preparatory sense, and I know that you will too. The other reason why, or the main reason why this episode's coming out this week, is because our Budapest training event would have happened this past weekend. I'm recording this on Thursday morning. It's gonna be released on Tuesday morning. And so in the intervening time between me recording this and you listening to it, our Budapest weekend or training event would have taken place. And so if you were at it, hey, I'm glad to have met you. And if you weren't at it, do check out our Instagram page. We'll have a photo or two up on the main feed. And then you can also tap into the Budapest highlights to see a glimpse of a lot of like under-resourced Bible teachers experience a day of intense training to hone their skills in both Bible interpretation and Bible teaching and preaching. So yeah, check out those photos and do pray for the ongoing work in Budapest and across Hungary. Anyway, I hope that this episode and all that we do at the Expositors Collective helps you to grow in your personal study and your public proclamation of God's word. All right, I'll chime in again at the end. Enjoy the interview.
Well, hi, everybody. This is Nick Cady once again with Pam Markey this time, the one and only Pam Markey. So glad to have you with us, Pam. Thanks for joining us on the podcast.
Great to be here, Nick.
So one of the things that we do at the Expositors Collective is that we want to encourage men and women. That's, I think, a unique aspect of what we do. We do that in our training weekends. You know, we make sure and we encourage women to come. And Pam, that's why I wanted to talk with you, is because I know that you're a very good teacher. And I wanted to maybe hear from you some of your experiences and have you share that with our audience, as well as maybe some words for young ladies and women who are maybe in a having the opportunity to teach, or maybe they don't yet, but they feel that they have a gifting or a calling to teach. So we'll talk about some of that. But before we get into it, Pam, maybe you could just introduce yourself to our listeners. Tell us about yourself, maybe a little bit of your background.
Okay. Well, I grew up in a Christian home. I was 7 years old when I officially received Jesus. And I'm a missionary's daughter, and grew up in a family with three brothers, and all of them went into the pastoral ministry. I saw love for the Word of God that I also caught, I guess.
Where were you
say.
A missionary?
In Zimbabwe, Africa. Okay. And so I was there until I was 17, and then I came to the States wanting to be a missionary myself, missionary doctor, actually. Went to Bible college for a couple of years, then Indiana University, got my science degree and everything, went into medical technology, and then married my husband, who was a pastor at the time. Mm. And we went into, actually, that was in the 70s. And so we went into a coffee house ministry. He had been in pastoral ministry, was a little discouraged with the church not receiving, you know, the hippies.
Yeah.
We were in the Midwest, so we were a little bit behind.
I didn't even know there were hippies in the Midwest.
Oh, yes.
Oh, wow.
We were hippies pretty much.
Okay.
No.
Yeah.
But we had a coffee house ministry where people could come in. And I think that's when there was just that spark for me to see these young people, and I wasn't much older than them, but just come to know the Lord and have the opportunity to share because we were in it together and studied the Word of God together. Just a love for the Word and wanting to know and expand outside of my denominational affiliation into what I was seeing, the gift of the Holy Spirit and just how He was moving. And that just, and together, we actually studied the Word and ended up in Calvary Chapel. We'd already been in ministry, but yeah, just growing in, we can do this. We can share the Word of God. It's, you know, the whole expository, you know, book by book, chapter by chapter, and thinking, this is what we want. This is what we want to see. I even remember the first Bible study that we went to in Costa Mesa, and Chuck was reading through a psalm, and at the end of each verse, it said, "For the mercy of the Lord endures forever." Mm. And we had come through a difficult time in ministry ourselves with some difficult church situations. And he was saying, "Okay, I want everybody now to say, 'And the mercy of the Lord endures forever,' after I read each verse." Mm. And I thought, being the kind of sort of scientific person, I counted all the verses and I thought, wow, this is going to take a while. But saying that and just in tears at the end, the Word of God is just, it's transforming. And experiencing that transforming power of the Word. And so just that love for what it was. Then we had, we were told we couldn't have children. So, but on our fourth anniversary, we had twins.
You proved them wrong.
And then we had, see, seven, eight. Yeah, I have to count right now.
Yeah.
Then seven more, yes.
You really proved them wrong.
Yeah, we proved them wrong. And when our youngest was born, Aaron, he was 5 months old, we felt called to the mission field and went to Ukraine.
Yeah.
And planted a church there that then there was a sort of church planting movement after that. There's over 20 churches now there. And we adopted our ninth child there, Kristen. And so, yeah, that's kind of the...
What year was that?
That was in... the adoption was in 1993.
No.
We went to Ukraine in 1992.
Yeah. So you moved to Ukraine with 8 children.
Yes.
Including a, did you say 5-month-old?
A 5-month. So they were 2 16-year-olds. And then 2 years down after that, everybody except him, he was like, there were 5 years between Aaron and John.
And you moved to Ukraine.
We moved to Ukraine. Which
you must have been living in luxury.
Oh, yeah. We had a really hard time finding a big enough place. And big enough was like a 3-room apartment, which meant 3 rooms.
Yeah.
And, but no, and in so many ways, it was an adventure. And I guess to take teaching for me back to that, we had planted a church in America and had been there for 12 years. So we were both not young when we went on the mission field. I was 44 and my husband was 50. Mm-hmm. And we came from that church planting thing, and I had taught women's Bible studies, and it just went with having, I had children, I taught them. I taught the Bible studies, and occasionally my husband really liked the child raising seminars. And so he would say, okay, I want you to do this on Sunday morning, you know?
Yeah.
And so then under his kind of, you know, he was my best student. He would just take notes. You know, we talk about child rearing. We were brought up in different environments. You know, didn't become a believer till he was 21, had a sort of dysfunctional background. And then I'd had this very, you know, Christian upbringing. So constantly that back and forth between us was also really healthy and helpful and looking into the Word together. So when we went on the mission field, then the very first week, we kind of had met with a group of people, and the women asked then, they said, "Will you come and teach a study?" And so my thing, I think, over the years is that an opportunity is a call.
Wow.
And so if you're given the opportunity to do something, and you can, I mean, you can step, maybe you don't feel qualified, not definitely, but it's an opportunity. And so to walk, so here were women who had very little knowledge of the Word of God, which was exciting to me. And I wasn't familiar with the culture yet. We were learning the language, but that opportunity just to share the word of God was, I had a translator who could barely speak English, but she translated so well, I thought, from the word. But then every fourth lesson, I would have the women ask questions, you know, what do you want to know? And she would answer them. And I didn't want to offend her. You know, I thought they're asking me the question, you know, what are you doing? And she confessed to me a couple of years later, she said, I couldn't translate their questions into English with you. And so I just answered them, you know. So it was one of those things where the Holy Spirit just working and seeing the change in the women that happened. And then in the church as a whole, as we shared together. So that's kind of quick. Yeah.
Yeah. Background. It sounds like a huge journey to sum up in just a few minutes.
Yes. Yeah.
So what are you doing now?
So we did the church planting in Ukraine, turned it over to a national pastor, and there were others, left some of our children in Ukraine because my oldest son got his degree in mathematics.
Yeah. He's a good friend of ours.
Yeah. George. Yeah, he's got his master's in applied
math.
And
George was at our Expositors Collective in Colorado.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yes.
He was a group leader.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then Johnny graduated with his master's from the Conservatory of Music. He says he's the only child that most children grow up and leave home, that he grew up and home left him. Because then we went to Kyrgyzstan to join the team there with one of our other children, two of them actually. And after we were there for 6 months, George contacted something that was fatal. And he went to be with the Lord in 2007. And that was when my world kind of flipped because I'd been a pastor's wife for 35 years, had taught the word under a pastor and, you know, in church plants. And I wasn't sure what I was at that point. But the Lord, you know, just seeking to know what he had and his word to me at that point when we went to we ended up going to a memorial service in the States for George. And he just said, what do you have? What do you have in your hand? And John was still trying to graduate from the conservatory. And he'd already said, I can't do it. I can't do it without Dad being here. I had a 15-year-old and a 10-year-old still at home. And he said, this is what you need to do. You know, it's the Lord's so good to just take us one step at a time. So we went back to Ukraine. I didn't feel that that's where I was to end up, but back to Ukraine because that's where the children had been and the schools would take them back and stayed until John, he was just a few months away from doing his final recital or whatever. And and there was just that word from the Lord that kept coming, you know, okay, the next thing, you know, there'll be a place for them to go to school. So we just, John got married. We went to the States. We were invited to go to Ukraine. I didn't feel like that was where we were to go. We had left that work, and I felt like that's what we were supposed to do. And then just period of time, make a long story short, someone said, have you ever thought of going to Budapest to Hungary, to the Bible college? And I said, no. I mean, never had entered my mind. But we knew Phil Metzger and his wife. They had actually married one of our children, Melanie and Paul. And so I just called Phil up. And I said, so what do you think if I come to the Bible college? And he goes, I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
I don't know what you'll do, but, and you know, when you're in grief, because this was only a couple months after George had passed, you sort of don't have some of those feelings. I should have been embarrassed, you know, I'm inviting myself and I don't know what I'll do.
Yeah.
But that's what happened. And so moved there and he had a small group that was meeting in the Bible college was there, but there was a group that were just into missions. And he said, why don't you take that group and just, you know, 3 hours a week and did that. And that was kind of the beginning of the School of Mission that we have now in Hungary and being at the Bible college then now for 12 years, teaching some classes, whatever. And this is what I would say to anybody who wants to teach is it's the opportunity. You have an opportunity if it's kids, if it's women, if it's a group of people, if it's a specific subject, go for it. That's the Lord opening a door.
I heard somebody say once, the rule should be never ask and never say no. But it sounds like your rule might be maybe ask and also never say no.
Definitely. Yeah. I was in a period of time when I I started getting requests to come and speak, actually Costa Mesa. And I didn't know what to do with that. You know, it had been just like 4 months. And asked the kid, some of the kids were there at a memorial service. And I said, what do you think I should do? And they said, well, why wouldn't you do it?
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, I don't know. And at that time, for that season, I felt like the word from the Lord for me was, say yes, and I'll close the door if I don't want you to do it. And that was, I don't say that that's always the way. In fact, my most recent decision wasn't that way. But for 11 years, if I was asked, whatever it was, and again, that opportunity,
that might be a good word for maybe some of our listeners, you know, who are just almost afraid. Like maybe they've been asked, but they're like afraid. I'll tell you what, I actually, the first time I was asked to speak and preach at my church, I had moved to Hungary. I was a missionary and I had come back to visit and I was invited to speak on Wednesday night and I said no. And the only reason I said no was because I was so afraid.
Right.
And I regret that. But ever since that point, I haven't done that again. I've said, hey, you know what? If I have the opportunity, I'm going to say yes, even if I'm scared, and I'll just trust the Lord. And actually, I think some of those times are really powerful because you trust in the Lord more than just kind of resting on your laurels.
Absolutely. Because you're scared. I mean, there's fear there, but
that prayer, like, God, I need a word because I'm going up there and I need it now. Yeah. No, that's a good place to be in a way.
It is in that place of not feel like, do I have something to say? But if the opportunity comes, I think that's like underlies most of, And so I did that and the School of Mission grew, you know, I had the opportunity to just pour into the lives. And that was exciting to me to see the transforming power of the Word of God in those classes and to see people go out and do those things. There just isn't anything more glorious than that, you know, and to know, and for a student to say, the Word of God has come alive to me, you know, and that's what, you know, that's what we want to see happen.
And so then, the School of Mission, and you're still though in Budapest, right?
Well, we started out in Vita. Okay. It's a little village.
Yep.
Right. About an hour and a half out of Budapest. And then in 2017, the college moved to Budapest, you know, which is, I think, was a great move.
Yeah.
Urban setting, the opportunity for, you know, all kinds of ministry, homeless ministry, sex trafficking, refugee. And so we're able to see students go out and do, what can we say, real ministry.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Not just that, but also the fact that Budapest or Hungary in general is surrounded by 7 countries, all different cultures.
Mm-hmm.
And so drive 3 hours in any direction and you're in a new sort of a new cultural setting. And so then they would come back. And it was my main thing then was to work with those students coming back and talking about, you know, cross-cultural communication and how did you experience that and so forth. So that's what I've been doing for the most part. And new Great. Opportunity.
Yeah, that's awesome. You know, so I think it's interesting for our listeners maybe. I know that, so at our last event we did, we had 20% of our attendance was female and we'd like to see that increase. You know, we'd really like to see, and we're really encouraging people who, not just men, but women too, who feel a calling to preach. We'd love for them to be trained. And, you know, my thought on it was, you know, there's so many opportunities and areas where we do have women teaching in our churches and we really want to make sure that they're able to do it well. And so they should receive training. But my question for you would be this. What advice would you have for, let's say, a young lady who says, I feel called to teach, but I'm not sure what avenues are there. You know, I feel this calling from God, but I'm not sure what to do with it and or how to even pursue it.
Well, I think number one is prepare yourself.
Okay.
And I'm a great believer in learning how to study the Bible. Begin with an inductive Bible study.
Mm-hmm.
And start digging into the Word in that way and take advantage wherever you are of opportunities to learn how to study the Word from different teachers. Listen online. There's so much good teaching out there and not just one person. Sometimes we get this one favorite person, you know, but not just one person, but listen to a variety of teachers. And there's things online, you know, where there's interviews of people. And I would say, go for it. You want to teach, you're learning that craft, so to speak. Then look at people who are doing it, men and women, who are doing it. And don't let anyone put a cap on what you can do, but don't demand your rights either. I think it's a spiritual principle, if I can say that. Yes, I think that women can teach. I think that women can teach in a mixed group of people. I think there's, you know, certain things that go with that and stuff, but absolutely. But if you find yourself in a context where that's not the case, you know, don't stand up and demand your rights. Go where you can, you know, it's Christian, right? We don't have rights.
Yeah.
And we look to the Lord to do that. I'm grateful for women who've stood up for the right to vote or equal pay for equal work. I'm very much, yes. But in the church, we submit to one another. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a valuable principle that in submitting to each other, the Lord opens up opportunities for us to do that. But definitely preparation. Mm-hmm. And when opportunities come, then a small Bible study, or I'm going to get together, you want to get together with me to study the Word? And let the Holy Spirit show whether that is your gifting or not. When people gather around and want to listen, okay, you know, that's part. And never stop learning, you know, reading. And I'm constantly doing that, you know, seeing my sons. I'm a little bit jealous of them going on to seminary and stuff like that. Since I hate to write papers, I'm not going to do that. But really, we have some of the greatest discussions with each other. And then I say, what are you reading? What books are you reading? Oh, keep reading, keep looking, keep. Recently, I went through a training program for Simply the Story, which is doing oral Bible teaching. And I learned so much from just doing that. I had offered it to my students because some of them will go to unreached people groups. And this is a very valuable tool, which I'd never had. Mm-hmm. And I was just going to observe. I was a teacher, so I'm going to observe them learning this method. Sure. But then I soon realized that I needed to humble myself and be a part of it, which was not an easy job because you have to learn this. And I think that's the other thing is if you're going to do that, then you will be humbled.
Yeah.
And if you humble yourself, then the Lord doesn't have to do that.
Yeah.
So,
it's a really good thing to be humbled, right?
Yeah, because it's a very good thing.
The Lord resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble.
Amen.
And I want grace. So. Yeah, it's not a bad thing to be humbled, right?
That's right.
You know, So I know I've certainly been humbled in teaching. You know, I was recalling myself like the first time I tried to teach without notes and just crashed and burned. And it was very humbling, but it's a good thing to be humble.
Yes, so, it is.
God blesses the humble. And okay, one last thought. You moved to Ukraine with 8 kids and then adopted a 9th. So 9 kids. How in the world did you ever have time to prepare for a Bible study?
Well, that's such a good question. Yes. So number one, I don't look at preparation as, okay, I need this 6 hours to get ready. I do sometimes. But if I haven't lived a life of preparation, I'm literally the fear of the Lord is in me, because if I haven't been preparing and, you know, and the thing that I would say and often say to my students is there'll be times on the mission field or in ministry where it's kind of nothing happening. Mm-hmm. Okay. Fatten up on the Word of God, start reading and preparing. But it is a daily pursuit. I mean, there's days when we don't do, you know, but it's constantly doing that and looking at opportunities and taking those opportunities, but definitely having, and of course, now I have more time to prepare, like for a retreat or for teaching classes, I've got to get ready. But as a mom, and I always taught throughout that period of time, it was just little pieces and reading the Word of God and thinking of how that affected my life and how it would affect someone else's life.
Awesome. Yeah, because I know that there are probably a lot of people listening. I know we definitely have people listening who are having the opportunities to teach sometimes, but like let's say they work a job in addition, maybe full-time sometimes, or maybe they are a mom with kids and that's a full-time job, you know? And I think that's something that a lot of people think about. How can somebody who's not in like a full-time pastor context prepare well? And I think that's really good advice.
So. And I think actually when you are in a context where you're either outside of the home working, because I've done that as well, or you've got children, the Word of God speaks to those things. And as you're looking and seeing that, you really have a richness that you wouldn't if you just sat in your office and prepared Bible studies.
Yeah, that's encouraging. And I think that let's just make that point one more time here as we end, is that, you know, there's actually an advantage in some cases to not Absolutely. Having 20 hours to sit in an office by yourself and prepare.
Yeah.
So, Pam, thank you so much for joining. Hey, if people want to know more about your work and what you're doing, or they want to keep up with you online, is there any way they can do that?
Yeah, right now I'm actually directing the Bible College in Hungary. And our website, if you want to see about the college, is ccbce.com.
Okay.
And that's probably the best way to get in touch. I'm markyp@ccbce.com personally, and I'd be happy to talk to anyone or
awesome.
Share in any way.
Thanks, Pam.
Thank you for having me.
Wow, isn't that crazy? What a life Pam has lived, and we're thankful to the Lord for her and for her impact. Okay, moving on. I do want to say, if you are in Seattle or if you are in the Pacific Northwest of the U.S., just want to invite you to our next training weekend. It's going to be May 8th and 9th, and registration has been live for a while. We're getting people that are signing up already. That's great. And you know what? There's room for more. So you are very welcomed. Go to expositorscollective.com, scroll down about, an eighth of the way down our page, and there's a link for upcoming events. So there's details there about registration costs and accommodations. But if you are in the Pacific Northwest, or if you're able to get there, you're definitely invited to our two-day training event, which is taking place in Seattle, Washington, May 8th. And 9th. All right, thanks for listening. 94 episodes. I can't believe we're on the precipice of triple digits. It's been a real joy to be involved in these podcasts, and I'm so glad that they are going far and wide and encouraging people in their personal study and their public proclamation of God's word. So have a great week, and I'll see you next Tuesday.